Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 2, I taught that the pastor is God's ordained leader of the local church. Let's continue with that thought today. There may be a work that's bringing in multitudes of people. The multitude in the wilderness were taking part in the golden calf worship. The multitude went against Moses and Aaron in Numbers chapter 16. The multitude was against Jesus when all men forsook him and fled and yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him." And throughout the Bible and throughout church history, the multitude of religious say one thing, but the man who honors God says another. And he may have been killed, may have been sawn asunder, he may have been so many other things. They were the bottom men on the totem pole. I like the way that we read it when we're reading in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 35 through 40. He says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. These are men that stood for Christ. The majority stood against them. The majority were religious. Let me just insert this, that many of these men had wives who backed them 100%. Praise God if you have a godly pastor's wife. He says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Today we have a problem, people just don't stick. Well, these men stuck and they stood. And they withstood. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And so, they haven't entered the eternal reward, but they will. They will. But isn't that interesting? So again, the idea of many antichrists means that it is present throughout the church age. Much of John is written to show the error of what the Nicolaitans, who tried to lord over God's flock, were doing. Yes, Jesus said there would always be tares among the wheat, meaning there'd always be hypocrites in the local church. A pastor is God's ordained leader, the foreman, if you wish. But the plan and order is 100% from the Word of God. And that plan is open so you can see it too. And so again, understand, the Word of God is our source of authority. Stand on it. When you hear an evangelist or preacher with a large following who says, there is no literal fire in hell, there is no everlasting torment in hell, I only talk about the love of God, not negative subjects as that. Well, that preacher, that pastor, whatever he's going to call himself, is a man who is accusing God of being unloving if indeed he has created a hell. He's calling God a monster. These are men who are liars and deceivers. My friend, there is a hell. When Jesus called it a place of fire and torment, he meant it. And Jesus preached on hell probably more than any other Bible preacher that we read of their sermons. He preached on it. Jesus said, "You're of your father the devil," in John 8:44. "The lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Positive preaching, that's all you would do? Well, then you would not preach God's word, God's way. You wouldn't do it God's way. You'd be doing it some other way, and that way would be wrong. We read again, verse 14 in this chapter. And that last part of that verse is addressed to young men. And it says there in verse 14, "Because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." Now when you look at that, how are they strong? The word of God abideth in them. In other words, the word of God is at home in them. The word of God governs them because they use it, they read it, they think on it, they study on it. It is their living guide. And they, as a result, overcome the wicked one. That is the devil. Now, if the Bible says, "Don't do this," and they do it, they're not dependent on God, even if they say they love God. Maybe the Bible's just simply too hard for them. Maybe it's just simply too hard. Grace never, never, never justifies the world. It never justifies sin. It never justifies going back to the way of the flesh. Antichrist in the church speaks of people who can mislead you by using familiar terms. Oh yeah, they can use familiar terms. They put themselves instead of Christ. So they put themselves forward in your life. And in time, you end up, especially on the national level, sending them money and neglecting the God-ordained local church to which God has you a member. Now, the address of little children shows this is a serious talk and a warning from the Lord to make us ready for what can get us off track in the Christian life. It is part of the spiritual battle to have the preeminence that the Lord Jesus Christ should have in your life. You see, Satan is going to fight to distract you and to keep you from giving the Lord Jesus Christ preeminence in your life. Now, I'm like you. I got problems that come up in my life, things that I wrestle with. And sometimes those things, although I want to defeat them, become such an occupier of my mind and thoughts, and that Christ is not preeminent. And so I've got to allow Christ to have the preeminence and realize the battle is the Lord. There's something else that we can recognize in this last time. Go back to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." know what the idea is there? They don't want to go that way. You know, we want to drive on the 4-lane. We don't want to go on the 2-lane road. This is the easy way. Oh, this is the best. Oh, this is the most smooth way. Listen, that preacher preaching against sin, taking stand, having standards, that's not good. We're not going to go that way. And so they never turn to Christ as they ought to. See, what you need to understand about Matthew 7:13-14, he's telling us there's not many roads to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. And secondly, you must see that that way is a straight and narrow way. Now, as we read earlier, God is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And since he is, we know that those who, how should I say this? Those who teach grace have the liberty to fulfill the lust of the flesh. All they're doing, as Jude 4 says and predicts of the last days, they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Anything goes. There's no standard. There's no rule. That is a person being influenced by the spirit of Antichrist. Now, God never contradicts 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Grace never justifies the old things, so the old things must be passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Jesus' words in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, doing the will of the Father which is in heaven, you're working your way? Oh, no. What is the will? The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All, not just the elect, all. He wants all to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. As 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, God, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what the Bible says. I go along with the Bible. Okay, there are men that try to say differently, but God is right. Men are wrong. Then he goes on, verse 22 of Matthew 7, says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Now, isn't that interesting? The Lord doesn't argue that any of those points. They may have done exactly what they said.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.